Hello, everybody, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I am your host today, Jeremiah. I hope that you're doing well. Today, we're on episode 102.4, and we're discussing Ruth chapter 4. We're going to finish out Ruth here today, and I'm so blessed and so happy that you're here to join us. It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio, crisp, cool day. I think we're going to get back in, we're in the fall, so you know, this is the time of year that we can go from, the 40s to the 80s in about a week. So that's what happens around here. So I hope you're doing well. I pray that you're continuing to go along with us as we move through the Old Testament. So we're going to finish this up. We're going to do the normal things we do on this podcast. We're going to pray. We're going to talk about the verse of the day. And then we're going to read our chapter, Ruth chapter 4. I hope the last episode I said three. Well, I read chapter 3, but I had to change the titles because my mind was a little off kilter. But we're good. We're good. So again, so happy you're here. So happy to join us. Lorraine's on vacation, so I'm picking up the next three chapters on my own. And then Lorraine will come back, and then we'll be back on the 5th of the fifth chapter of that week. So next week, whatever. I'm here. Let's pray. Holy, holy Lord, God, Father Almighty, you are amazing. You are simply amazing. I come before you today, Lord, and I give you praise. I thank you for the many people that tune in for the podcast, whether they watch it or they listen, Lord. I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity to share your word into the world. My prayer is that those that are sticking with us continue to stick with us, reading a chapter a day, 5 days a week, and that ultimately what's happening is that we're growing in our understanding of you and that we're learning who you are, where you are, why you are, and everything in between, Lord. My prayer today is for time. We have precious time here on earth. And everyone that's listening, Lord, I pray over them that, and me, that we learn to manage our time wisely. You know, every day is present. And my prayer is that we're present in the day, that we don't let time slip away. The biggest, I think the worst thing to feel at the end of your life is regret and regret for the time that you had. My prayer is that, you know, I know there's time to be, to play and other things, but I just, my prayer is really to kind of prevent as much waste of time. And whether it's, you know, sometimes it isn't a waste, sometimes it's good, but there are times I think that we let time kind of flutter away. And my prayer is to work against that and for us to use the talents that you give us within the time frame, because we don't know when our time is done. And we want to know when we get there in heaven and we face you, Lord, that we know that our time was well spent with the people who mattered, the people who needed you, the people who loved you, and the people who loved us and that we loved, Lord. Time is precious, Lord. Time is precious. And we all have to learn how to manage it and learn how to live it and live in it. And that's something I know that I'm working on each and every day. Thank you for your son who died on the cross for our sins so that we have forgiveness of our sins. We have righteousness in your eyes, Lord, and that we can be free. We can't do anything to change that fact, good or bad. Can't make it better. Can't make it worse. The fact that we're forgiven is we're forgiven. And Lord, I pray once we understand that, that our world, that our worldview merges with yours and that we learn to be we get to the same wavelength as you are and that we're trying to spread your word. We're trying to make the world better than how we find it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Our verse of the day is Psalm I had to look at my microphone, make sure that I was not on mute. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. It's kind of a package deal with this one. But I think I mentioned this on the last podcast. And this is someone talking to God, probably David, but in this one here, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So again, it's that realization that God does have thoughts about us and thoughts about us individually, each person, and they cannot, we can't count them because they're more than the grains of sand on this earth. And even at the time that was written, they don't even know how big the earth was, how many beaches there are, whether it's a black sand beach, a green sand beach, a desert, a lake beach, whatever it may be, Lord. You know, what a cool way to phrase that. And that's one of the things I like about artists then and now. You know, people that can think bigger and grander and put things into words that are tough for me to communicate. So that's our verse of the day. So let's go ahead and move on to our chapter for today, which is going to be Ruth chapter 4. Boaz marries Ruth. So last time, you know, last chapter, we learned that Ruth sat at the foot of Boaz, laid at the foot of Boaz, and Boaz was going out to find a husband for her. So in chapter 4, we see Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Just then, the family redeemer he had mentioned came by. So Boaz called to him, "Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then you buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you." The man replied, "All right, I'll redeem it." Then Boaz told him, "Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family." "Then I cannot redeem it," the family redeemer replied, "because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it." Now, in those days, it was a custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal as he said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Then Boaz said to the elders, to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property in Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way, she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." Then the elders and the people standing at the gate replied, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of your ancestor Perez and the son of Tamar in Judah." So Boaz took Ruth into his home and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age, for he's the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than 7 sons." Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again," and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. This is the genealogical record for their ancestor, Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. So you can see, and we talked about this before, how precious Jewish tradition is and what your heritage is when we talked about the different tribes. I think we talked about it with Bethlehem. And so Boaz did the honorable thing and went to the family member that is in line to buy and take over the estate and then take the widow in. So this was part of tradition too, when a family member passed away and they leave behind a wife, a widow, then another family member will take that widow in so that they remain in the family and continue the family name and passing it on. So again, it's very important in what we've already seen in this, you know, opening of the Bible, of how important this genealogy is to every family and to every tribe. So, you know, we see Boaz go into town and he does what God asks. So he honors God by going to the family member and saying, hey, you know, you're next in line. Would you like to buy this land? Oh, and by the way, you'll also be taking on the widow because she is part of the family and she wants to have a son carry on the tradition of her husband who did pass away or die in this case. So, and that family member said, no, I don't want to risk my own heritage that, you know, this, he may have already had a wife. We don't know. We just know that he passed on it, which opened it up for Boaz to take the place of this and own the land. And the witnesses, again, it's always great to have a witness before the Lord when you're making a vow or you're offering something. It's something that's just called upon so that others can see this is what really happened. So when it's written about, there's confirmation of it. And we continue to see it written in the word. And now we can believe that this is what happened. And so Boaz takes Ruth and she's able to get pregnant and then has a son. Now, I do want to say, being in South Texas, I want to say, you know, Boaz's great-great-grandfather, I want to say Perez, but I guess it's Perez. It probably has a different type of accent if we think of a Jewish accent. You know, Ruth's promise to continue on the lineage. Boaz was able to take Ruth in so that that could happen. And so that she is honored. Noemi is honored. And their family tradition continues on, even though there was an early death to Ruth's husband. So these are reminders, you know, again, these stories do push that there is redemption. You know, they use the word redeemer, you know, and our ultimate redeemer was Jesus, who takes us on. You know, we are the bride. He's the bridegroom. And, you know, we are from a different lineage, a different heritage. But what this represents is that Jesus is that redeemer and brings us into the family where we can now create with our own genealogy the traditions that we have and the Christianity that we have and the faith that we have in Jesus. And we're, you know, Jesus's line is still continued as well. I mean, it's all encompassing of who we are now as Jew and Gentile. And, you know, Jesus was the last redeemer, the only redeemer that mattered in regards to salvation of our souls and righteousness before God. So what an amazing thing. And again, that's just an amazing correlation between Old Testament writings and who Jesus is and who he became to be in his life. And then we see that, you know, we're getting close to the story of David, King David. And so, you know, again, the Bible is kind of taking us down this lineage where eventually we get to Jesus. It's the same family line. So again, what an important book to read. And I'm so glad we could get through Ruth. And now here's the opportunity we do every podcast. you know, we do it because someone's joining in or someone's followed along and just haven't made that final step. Now, here's your opportunity. We talked about a redeemer, and we know that Jesus is that redeemer. You can go back and read or listen through the New Testament if you haven't been there yet, and you can see where that redeemer comes in. So if this time is your time and you've decided this is it, this is what I need it, we're going to pray a prayer. The prayer doesn't do it. It's your faith in Christ and your faith in what Jesus did that makes you a Christian. Doesn't mean that any other thing you do, baptism, communion, none of that confirms anything. Or I should say, none of that makes you saved. Those things actually confirm that you've made that vow and that commitment to God. So, you know, we do encourage you to go get baptized after this and celebrate communion, but realizing that those things don't make you new in Christ. It's your faith. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we recognize that we are all sinners and that we need a redeemer, that we need a sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus is that, Lord. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he will change me, strengthen me, encourage me, and I give him my life. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you made that commitment, congratulations. What an amazing, amazing decision you've made. Whether you made it today or previously, we want to share that we're celebrating with everybody in heaven. An amazing moment. Now, I'll be honest, it doesn't mean that your life changes like that. What it means is that your soul did and your eternity did. Now we start doing the work. We continue reading our Bible every day. Now we pray. We pray straight to God, pray straight through him. We don't have to go through a mediator, a third party, or nothing like that. So now the next step, find a church. There will be plenty in your community. You can go to a big church or mega church. You can go to the small community church. Anywhere that you feel welcome and you feel that you can bring your Bible in and read whatever's being preached about. And that's the biggest thing is when you find your church, you want to make sure that they're reading out of the Bible. And that's what they're sharing and quote unquote selling. And they're giving the word of God out into the world, and that you can go back and you can verify, oh, okay, this is what this is. This is what they're saying. And then there's validity. Times may change and there's always more churches. You can go try out churches and find new ones. If you outgrow the church or they outgrow you, whatever you feel, please find a church. And within that church, find a pastor, a minister, someone you can just sit down and chat with, tell them, hey, this is what I've done. I've made the commitment in my life. I've decided to have faith in Jesus. And they'll encourage you to read. They'll talk about discipleship, getting with other fellowshipping with other Christians and getting involved, get into a ministry, feeding the poor, blankets, toys for tots, whatever it is. Maybe it's missionary to Mexico or Peru or to Russia, China. It could be that. We don't know. You know, whatever God calls you to do, that's what you do. Some of us, it's big things, and some of us, it's small things. Some of us to be evangelists, and others of us to be listeners and to show God's love and to be there to walk through different storms. So read your Bible, pray to God, find a church, get involved. Hey, and let us know. Make that a step. Let us know if you've ever made that decision. You can email us, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org, Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. On Facebook, on Instagram, you can comment. We see those. You can message us. Let us know if you're celebrating salvation. If you're celebrating anything, let us know. A birthday, a holiday. You know, we love those things that are going on. Some kind of life-changing event. And tell us the down things too so we can pray for you. You know, we're all going to experience pain and suffering because this is earth. And sin is in earth. We're free from it, but it happens. And it does affect us. And that's okay. We have emotions and we're going to feel sad. We're going to feel angry. But we got to trust in God that those are justified and that we use that energy for purpose. So again, if something's going on, hey, let us know. We love to pray for people. We love to celebrate. And we are so thankful that you made it through another podcast with us. We're going to continue on to the next book is Samuel. Oh, Samuel. So like I said earlier, we're getting closer and closer to King David. And so now we're going to talk about Samuel, who's a prophet, and how he deals with a king coming along. We're going to learn about Saul. We're going to learn about how Saul ruled. And then we're going to see how David fits into that story as well. So we're up for a couple of books that are pretty exciting. I think they're eye-opening for a lot of reasons. And I'm so grateful you're here with us. And let's move on. Let's move on to Samuel. And I'll see you next time here on Leap of Faith Podcast.